Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Ryan Kelly Morning After. It's the all new 590 The Fan, KFNS. But I'll tell you, I had one of those. I didn't have a chance to have it earlier on.
You were doing
the tacos from I called the Gaslight Grill, which was awesome. It's Gaslight Lounge and Cha Cha Chow restaurant. Holy moly cockatoli. That really is
great. I had a deuce of them, Tim.
That's phenomenal. I had the chicken. Holy moly, for real.
I never made it to the chicken because the beef was so good. I had a second.
Outstanding. I cannot recommend that enough to our audience. It is the KFNS InsideSTL.com listener rewards program. You get $50 in gift certificates to Gaslight Lounge and Cha Cha Chow, and you get them for $25, Doug. And it sounds like a pretty cool setup as well.
And they got fries.
Yeah, like the Dickens. Now, I understand. I see the Inside STL news team. They turned the lights off back there so they can watch us in the darkness.
There they are.
I see Gaines and... Hannah Ray back
still
there.
Still feels like we're at a peep show when there's people behind a glass and the lights turned off so we can't tell that they're there.
You go to a lot of peep shows, bro?
Well, no, that's just what I've heard.
It feels like we're a circus sideshow. Oh, look, there's the hairy woman.
But I hear tell that Hannah Ray was hot-taking yesterday on the Megyn Kelly Newt Gingrich thing. And I was listening yesterday afternoon. Doug, you might be surprised to hear this, but I was getting it tight. And I was getting it rewarding.
Both at the same time.
And I was driving home around 5:50, and I'm listening to We Are Live, and Hannah's just like spitting blues knowledge. It's like Andy Strickland was in that body and running around here.
Really?
Yeah. Like, what in the hell
Big
is
blues
this?
Fan, is she?
I guess so. The mic's on. Is that right, Gaines? What do you got going on? Looks like Gaines wants to C-block Hannah and give his hot take. What's going on? Where's the sea monster? Nurse! Nancy?
We hear you tapping on it.
Chasing.
Come on, Gainesy.
Lane? You guys can just come on in. The water's warm. It's the Gateway Buick GMC studio.
Yeah, why did we put them back in there? Every other time they just come into the studio.
Dark, and then all of a sudden all I can see is like Gaines' face. He's like lighting his face with a flashlight. Like
it's
he's like a goblin or something. Doug, what do you think is most foreboding? Demons, ghouls,
skeletons.
Goblins,
people with goiters. Put that on the list.
Wolfmen.
Thank you, Plowhawk. Here comes Hannah Ray. Hannah, are you a big... blues fan? Like, did you grow up a big blues fan?
I am a blues fan.
But did you grow up a big blues fan?
Yes.
So, I mean, but I was listening like at 5:50. Did Chris bolt early or was he just out?
No, he was here.
Okay. And I just, it was just you and Travis. And I'm like, you're like spitting knowledge on the blues.
I watch their games. I just observe things and try to contribute.
Tim is like a girl talking hockey.
No, I didn't know, but it was at a higher level than ever on this show, unless Chase is on. And so I'm like, I wasn't aware of that.
You breaking down the line combinations?
She actually was.
You were?
She actually was. Yes,
who would you like to see paired
this
together?
Wasn't just like, yeah, shots on goal last night, disappointing in the early going. Blues didn't look like they had a whole lot of hop in their skate, you know, that whole type of crap. That's what I bring to the table.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, now the lines are a little different right now. The team's beat up, but, you know, you have this guy playing with this guy playing with this guy, and that's not the way it usually is. You had Steen playing center. That's not where he's normal. I'm going, what in the world? Because you never told me that you were like... You know.
Well, I had covered them in the past, so I was just...
Yeah, but
I guess.
So had we, and we bring nothing to the table.
we still can't tell what's going on out there.
Yeah,
but we did find out that Hutz is how you call cars.
Right. We did, yeah.
Not Hutty.
You probably
Hutz.
Didn't know that, Hutt, did Hutt, you?
You were going to call him Hutzy, and that is frowned upon.
Yeah. That's wrong.
Yeah. Say, right? Did you have one of them tacos?
I did.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
What did you have? Did you have the chicken or the beef?
No, I wasn't patient enough to wait for the chicken, so I had one of the beef ones.
Doug, that was short rib.
Yeah, boy, they were good, too. Yeah,
as a journalist, do you consider it surprising that we haven't seen Joe Roderick in yet this morning?
Why?
Clip that off. We could use that drop.
Joe Roderick always hears when someone
when
has brought
food
in.
Here?
And he'll
is
be,
that,
you know, sometimes he's like in the Chicago area and he'll and tear he'll down his
family vacation in Florida.
Well,
and then
he'll
all
be
of a sudden,
soon enough,
he's
right?
Here.
He will I'm be sure here everyone. Soon. Yeah. By the time I always see food here in the morning, and by the time I come back for the We Are Live show, everything's gone.
Yeah, Roderick. Just clear that's Roderick. Yeah.
And that's, when plowing. That's when the changing station will clean up those said messes from the all day.
That's the changing
station. So that's how the table gets cleaned the next day.
Late night Friday evening programming. But you were observing yesterday that Iggy continues to bring in baked goods, which you appreciate, but you notice that people just like take their forks and dig in without really cutting a piece.
Yes, every time I go to look at it, you think you would just cut the cake, you know, with a knife or something, but there's always like people just spoon feeding themselves with a fork out of
it. Reach in there and grab hunks of it.
Yes. Actually cut pieces and take it out. I don't understand. There's so many utensils.
That's a whole thing. We're too busy.
People at a sports radio station, they're uncivilized. They're the lowest form, including us.
It would be horrible to be the only girl at an all-male business, isn't it?
But we have all kinds of females. She's just currently the only... Well, I mean, Carly's on with you guys oft-times.
Yeah, she'll come once or twice.
But as far as,
week,
like, at the business, we have... You know, Melissa Marr is one of the most important people for the whole company and has been...
But she's at the East Campus.
She is at the East Campus. Mm-hmm. But we're all under one roof. There'll be more of a...
Yeah, but this is the... You know, this campus is full of ne'er-do-wells. Right? I mean,
based
honestly.
On the way we treat our cakes.
Yeah.
But here's the audio. I'm sure many people have heard this because it happened two nights ago, but Hannah was hot taking. So I hear. I didn't hear the hot take. I heard you breaking down blues lines, but I didn't hear this. Plowing, go ahead for the audience. Megyn Kelly and Newt Gingrich.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
You are fascinated with sex and you don't care about public policy. Now, that's
really?
What I get out of watching you tonight.
You know what? Mr. Speaker, I'm not fascinated by sex, but I am fascinated by the protection of women and understanding what we're getting in the Oval Office. And I think the American voters would like
to
know.
And therefore, we're going to send Bill Clinton back to the East Wing because, after all, you are worried about sexual predators.
Yeah, listen, it's not about me. It's about the women and men of America. And the poll numbers show us that the women of America in particular are very concerned about these allegations and in large part believe that they are a real issue. And
you
want to
do you want to comment on whether the Clinton ticket has a relationship to a sexual predator?
We on the Kelly File have covered that story as well, sir. I will tell you the
polls. I just want you to use the words. I want to hear your words. Bill Clinton, sexual predator. I dare you. Say Bill Clinton, sexual predator.
Mr. Speaker,
disbarred by the Arkansas bar. $850,000 penalty.
Excuse me, sir. We on the Kelly File have covered the Clinton matter as well. We've hosted Kathleen Willey. We've covered the examples of him being accused as well, but he's not on the ticket. And the polls also show that
he'll
the American public is less interested in the deeds of Hillary Clinton's husband than they are in the deeds of the man who asks us to make him president, Donald Trump. We're going to have to leave it at that, and you can take your anger issues and spend some time working on them, Mr. Speaker. Thanks for being here.
So I hear tell that you weren't happy with Megyn Kelly. Is that correct?
I was not.
Wow. Now, Doug, where are you on this? Because we haven't talked about it yet on this show.
Well, I'm firmly in the camp of Newt Gingrich.
Okay. And the cat, where are you on this?
I think it's a unique election in that these charges against Trump, which are obviously concerning and, if true, very vile. But on the other hand, the other candidate really, to me, doesn't have ground to speak on it because she attacked the people that accused her husband back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So like so many other things in this presidential race, both sides are awful.
You would think that they would, if she wins, that Bill's going to have to register as a sex offender for their neighborhood, isn't he? If he's got those charges against him. The only good thing is now he's too old to outrun the interns.
So we think.
So what did you not like about as a recently graduated female journalist? Is that where you were coming from? Or are you just looking at it as a political?
No, I respect Megyn Kelly's work. I think that she's a good reporter and she always does her research and she does stand firm on certain issues. But this particular situation, the fact that she would call him out and say that he has anger issues, I was just laughing at that because he didn't even raise his voice. He wasn't angry. He was just holding her accountable for things that she was uninformed on and that she couldn't stand her ground. When you invite someone onto your show and you're going to have a debate with them and you fall short to them, you can't just call them out and say they have anger issues just because you were called out for being wrong, and you were proven that you were wrong. And I think that everyone in America saw that she failed in this situation of what she was trying to prove, and she was embarrassed, so she was calling him out on these certain things, and she couldn't stand her ground on what she had originally confronted him about.
Doug, you're becoming a Hannah Lemon.
Ring the bell on that. Would you ring it really loud? Thank you.
I'm not in lockstep with Doug, but I do tend to see reason in some of the things he says when others might not. But in this, I don't think either side won, but I think it's a perfect example of the prism from which people see. And I think it's one of the problems in our discourse politically right. In America right now is that there's such team ideology and everything is like, oh, she won, she killed him.
Right.
I thought both sides, if it's a debate, both sides landed big punches, and I didn't think either side was out of line. I think the quip at the end was a good dig at the end, if you're scoring that way. But I didn't think either. I thought both sides made some points.
Yeah, I don't know. Throughout the entire thing, every time that he would say, well, if you say this, then you have to say this. And she just wouldn't do it. And she just realized that she was in the wrong throughout the entire interview. And so that's, I don't know, just certain things that she would say about anger. She was saying that, you know, calling him out for being obsessed with sex because he had said that to her. There's just so many things that I'm like, I don't know. It was just disappointing to see her final reaction on all of it. And then that so many women started tweeting in and saying that these are just men going after Megyn Kelly. No, it's not. You called this man to be on your show and he held you accountable for something you said. That's not him attacking
you
in any way.
But do you think it's
to
me, like, bell again, please,
to me, though, and again, I get it. It's a TV debate. It when you get down to it, it means nothing. But if the charges against Trump, and I mm-hmm. agree that the WikiLeaks things against Clinton, in many ways are just as bad, if not worse, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're not getting the same attention. But to take the leap that people are concerned about Donald Trump and all these allegations means you're obsessed with sex, to me, is a stretch and not really.
Definitely.
And so he's wrong, and I think he's wrong in that aspect, and she countered on that.
Right. And in my opinion, they are talking about Trump saying she called him a sexual predator. She called Trump a sexual predator. You know, he's been accused of kissing women against their will whatsoever. Well, Bill Clinton's been accused of rape. And that's far different, first of all. And mm-hmm. just it's to a much higher extent. And it's also that no one holds him accountable. They're saying, well, he's not on the ticket. Well, he's going to be in the office. And then Hillary sits here and calls Trump out all the time. But she calls herself this independent woman standing up for women. But she remains married to this man who's been accused of raping women while he was in office and doing other things. If she's so independent, why does she have to stay married to him? It's just a political act that she chooses just to continue highlighting herself to put herself into office. And so I disrespect that altogether.
Where are you on this? Doug wants to ring the bell. Doug needs his own bell. Yep. And Hannah's in the Gateway Buick GMC studios. So let me ask you this, because we've never discussed this. Where are you on November 8th? Who are you voting for?
I'm going to be supporting Trump.
Okay.
I don't want to support either of them personally. I've had a hard time, but I figure not voting would be a worse thing to do rather than I believe that things that someone says can only go so far, but actions of someone speak much louder. Values and the fact that Hillary has done so many things to multiple groups of people action-wise over the years is a much higher negative to me than a few things that Trump has said.
But you wouldn't consider yourself a fan of Donald Trump? Or
I would
are
not
you
consider
fan?
Myself a fan of him, uh-huh. but I think that his initiatives for the country, national policy, so many different things altogether are going to do more for this country than Hillary would.
Why or who were you? Doug is reaching... Doug, the first time we've ever seen Doug ring the bell, ever.
He went Frankenstein.
Yeah, he did. He kind of did the pounding. Yeah. Who did you like during the Republican primaries, Hannah?
I don't know. I was kind of torn multiple ways. I obviously don't like the things that Trump says publicly. I don't like the things that he's done to women, said to women. Obviously, I don't know everything that has for sure happened since he won't admit to a lot of things. Throughout the primaries, I was just kind of trying to play it out because there were so many negatives on different levels. I thought that some of the stronger personalities that were in it, there were a lot of negatives in their background as well. Just so I didn't know if they'd be a strong enough leader to lead the country, forming policies, holding them out. So I was kind of just letting that part play out.
But there wasn't somebody you would watch speak at the debates, for example, and go, oh, that's the person I hope.
I would just kind of watch it all because I think that's the whole thing through the primaries and this election just between Hillary and Donald. There's so many negatives on both sides that it's hard to be like, you know, this person should have won. This is who it should have been.
It is weird because there were so many choices. Were there 16? Is that correct? 16 Republican presidential candidates? 17,
I think, at one point. Yeah.
And I guess, theoretically, the Democrats started out with four, although that dude from Rhode Island bolted real quickly, and Martin O'Malley just kind of hung around, I guess, because he liked to travel. But then it got down to Hillary and Bernie Sanders. But I do recall, like, in 08, and then even 12, I'm like, man, I feel like we have a variety on both sides, for real, on both sides, even though I knew that I would be voting for Barack Obama in 12, where I'm like, you know, Mitt Romney is a competent and, I believe, good man. You know, even if I don't necessarily plan to vote for him. And throughout this whole thing, I just was like, so I'm going back here a year plus, but throughout this whole thing, I'm just like, God, I don't know. I mean, I'd be like, Kasich, but it's not because I'm thoroughly enthused by him so much as I'm just like, I think he's the best of the whole operation. But, you know, I don't necessarily have a great deal of enthusiasm for him, whereas I would have had and did have enthusiasm for John McCain and Barack Obama. Again, because I base it on my intuition, which is completely unfair for discussion because I can't back it up, but intuition, who I think will act in the best interest of the greater good, even if it's unpopular.
It's hard to imagine either side having great enthusiasm to vote for their candidate. I think the enthusiasm comes to vote against the other one.
Yeah, I agree with that. In 2016, I agree with that.
Which is unique.
It is. I mean, it really is, because I think back to my votes, and I voted for Republicans twice, and I voted for Kerry, Obama. And I was legitimately enthused. I guess in 2000, I was kind of a coin flip. But, you know, I obviously regret voting for George W. Bush, but I know why I did at the time. But I truly don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I feel like I got to vote, but I don't know, you know.
And here,
I can't feel good about voting for Gary Johnson either, and that was kind of my out. And now I'm like, that's, you know.
And here's the thing, because I see people tweeting about this. I've had friends of mine mention it. Everyone knows who they're voting for. If you don't know by now, you're dumb.
I honestly,
and to me, it's like, this is a classic case of when you have to make a decision on something that you find distasteful, you put it off, right? And that's what this is about. I will vote for one of the major candidates. I'm not going to vote for Gary Johnson or Dr. Stein. And I honestly can't say with certainty. I'm leaning toward Trump, as awful as I think that is. But I'm not sure, because I might not be able to pull the trigger
after I do it.
I might not be able to do it when I get in there.
Did you vote in 12?
No.
You did not. And is that because you weren't old enough?
Yep.
It's a good reason. Now, what do most people in
I
your
still
age
want to know how old Hannah is. Because I can't ask that question as the employer. Although I guess I could look at the tax form.
Just had my birthday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but you're clearly a millennial. And like in your group of friends, what are people thinking?
What's the Tri-Delta community?
Well, actually, more of my friends are leaning towards Trump now. I think that we look and see, and a lot of people have asked me, how could I even vote for Trump the way that he's spoken about women? But at the same time, I can't vote for a woman who I don't think represents women well at all. I don't think that it's going to be a continuation of the Obama presidency and everything that he's done. Obviously, a lot of her beliefs and different things are against a lot of my moral and faith values. And I just don't think that she would be a good leader for this country. She's going to have to rely on so many people. I think that she would have had more of an impact in the past through all of her political contact that she's had over the past years. And most of what we've seen is it's all corruption. It's not, she hasn't done a lot of good things.
Doug is ringing the bell again. It's the second time ever.
You know what else? As the news changes too, you know, you could jump from one side to the other if you're not really dead set on one guy. Like, The administration now admits that the Affordable Care Act is in trouble and that rates are going on. They still try to point to the positives, and there are some. Hillary, and I think it's a disaster for the economy. People don't even realize that taxes will kick in more in 17, and people anticipate as more insurance companies pull out, they're going to have to bail out the system. It'll cost more in terms of the budget.
Right.
And Hillary has long been a proponent of single payer. So to me, she gets in. Affordable Care Act is in trouble. She's going to say, well, we got to go single payer. And I think that would be devastating for a budget that's already broken.
Hunchback of Von Castle texting this in, and his sentiment, I agree 100% as far as Tim Kaine. He said, I heard Tim Kaine on the Axe Files. The Cat, you would really enjoy that podcast, by the way, because I know you're into this. I heard Tim Kaine on the Axe Files and was impressed. He goes on to say, "Help me feel better about voting for Hillary." The Tim Kaine thing, I was very impressed by that, because when he speaks, he just, because I believe he's a really good man, has to be a smart man as well. You know, they're not just letting anybody into Harvard these days, I don't think anyway, but he just doesn't really seem to present leadership traits. But I mean, again, this is based on sound bites and seeing him in the debate where I thought he was just really odd behavior.
Television age, you have to be a smooth dog or people think you can't be a good president.
I guess you might be right, but I mean, George W. Bush wasn't a smooth dog.
Nobody came across as likable, at least.
I agree with that. I would recommend that podcast. That by no means would make me personally, I'm not trying to, you know, tell people my voting direction, because honestly, I don't know. I cannot feel good about it. It's so bad. Right. It's so bad.
Is there a chance you would vote for Trump?
No, there's absolutely no chance I would run. There's absolutely no chance.
So it's either Hillary or Johnson.
It's either Hillary or no one, I think. It's either Hillary or no one, and I really don't know. But I want to vote in the gubernatorial race. I want to vote in the Senate race, excuse me. Can you leave that blank? Or can I just like write in Deke Dotum or something?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll do that. Where was I going with this? I don't know. I had something. But
Tim Kaine, you were saying.
Tim Kaine, it was, just came off very, very well, because he wasn't like, and then it was an interesting, you would have enjoyed this. Axelrod asked.
I think he's great as an analyst. But I mean,
Axelrod was obviously also brilliant. So it's a high level. I like keeping it 1600, and people have heard me talk about that podcast, but it's very to the left. Now, I certainly am as far left socially as I think you can get, but I recognize when it's kind of like we're just making fun of things, it's not really, I mean, it's amusing, but it's not really a productive discussion. Axelrod, I mean, he had Karl Rove on a couple weeks ago, so it's not like it's just from the left. But anyway, he had Kaine on, and he asked him, he said, "Now, you were one of the first people to come out and endorse Barack Obama." And he said, "Yeah, I was ready to do it in 2006. And he said, "But now, you, of course, are Hillary Clinton's running mate. Do you view that differently?" That's a tough question to ask the guy who's, you know, they're still in the campaign mode. And he said, "I wouldn't do anything differently." That's where he eventually got after going into political spin mode. And then Axelrod said, "Yes, but you didn't answer the question," you know, because it is a tough, you know, in other words, would you rather be with Barack Obama or would you rather be with Hillary Clinton? It's just a really good podcast, and it gives you insight into, in my opinion, both sides, because it's not just a Democratic guest or all Democratic hosts like Keeping It 1600, although I enjoy Keeping It 1600, just as an FYI for our listeners. Like every day, Doug, I'm recommending apps and podcasts on the station, it seems.
Other than your own.
Other than my own. And that's, let's see, who just texted me? Roderick texted me that he got on that MyFitnessPal thing that I was talking about. And he said, "Been using that MyFitnessPal, trying to avoid eating bad, not coming in till showtime." So he will not be coming in.
I believe when I see it. Huh.
To get tacos.
Yeah, he's probably sent a surrogate in.
Doug, any chance you vote for Hillary?
Not a chance.
Any chance you wouldn't vote for Trump?
I would love there to be a different candidate, but there isn't. And I can't see voting for the most corrupt politician possibly in the history of this country. We know for sure that she's corrupt and that she's made a fortune taking money from foreign governments. And I mean, the WikiLeaks emails are just so damning. I don't know how anyone could seriously look and see what was going on. And now it's all the way up to the White House itself, not look at what's going on and say, "Wait a minute, that's wrong. That's corrupt. We can't have that."
I can't argue there. But on the other hand, your other choice is, I've done a lot. I've been asking smarter people. Friends of mine put me in touch with other people who know stuff. And they had the people that really know this have concerns about Trump and international policy, and the other folks that know a lot about the economy and economic issues have problems with Hillary and continuing down this road. So I'm not positive what I'm going to do.
We got email of the day coming up. Salt and Smoke, the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I was tempted to get that last night. The cat. You know what I would have done? Postmeas.
What is that again?
Postmeas.
Well, Postmates, but I don't have the time to say mates.
Oh, I see.
So okay. When we're at the Post tonight,
right,
we'll use Postmeas to bring you the food.
Wow.
That would show
That's
ultimate
like
wealth.
That's like Inception again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is. I'm always trying to show off my wealth. That's always my goal.
I could just go grab it, but that would be free. I want to spend money.
And you don't
show
want the server to actually put it down. You want a delivery service to come and get it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Boy, that's cool. I'll tell you what.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's real pathetic, but it's true. Wheelhouse, the official college football headquarters, Pony Up Down. Is that where you go, Hannah? Is that where the cool kids are hanging out, you young tykes?
I've been there a time or two.
That seemed like that was downplaying it because you're there a lot.
You're
that was
a regular
my read.
There?
That was my read.
Actually, one of my best friend's boyfriend is the manager there, so we'll
Ray
go
King.
There.
Ray King? Have you met Ray King?
I have met Ray King, but it's not him.
Isn't he a patriot? Don't you think he's a patriot?
He will call into our show every day and promote the drinks that he's making that weekend at Wheelhouse.
It's free advertising.
Smart.
I need to nix that. Mm-hmm. Ray King, Doug. He's a fan of yours. He sent the picture in yesterday. The guy's making out in the background at the
I didn't need the picture. I didn't need the photo.
All right. It is time for the email of the day. Big prize again, giving away tickets to the Blues and Avalanche on November 6th. And the Blues have a big thing going on here. They host Colorado for their Hockey Fights Cancer game on Sunday, November 6th. They will be collecting donations for cancer research throughout the night, including auctioning the players' Hockey Fights Cancer lavender warm-up jerseys. All proceeds from the evening will benefit American Cancer Society, Friends of Kids with Cancer, and Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. For more information on all of the Blues Hockey Fights cancer events, visit stlouisblues.com. Hey, guys, if Lydia Moss Bradley was a struggling former Cardinal right fielder who had just finished off the last of her six children, do you think the cat would say she'll get it figured out? She's a better mother than what she's shown this season. Thanks, the Dogtown Astro Van.
That's pretty good.
Dogtown Astro Van.
Because she offed six of her kids, six for
allegedly.
Six.
Allegedly.
They died.
And a husband, so that's seven
she
for seven.
She didn't kill them all.
Hey, guys, congrats to Jacob Nieter on his win yesterday. Have fun at that Blues game. Tim. Can you make sure and read this one last, so when the senile old size queen doesn't pay attention, he'll vote for me? Hopefully you're giving away another high-demand ticket prize like Mizzou basketball tickets or passes to a free concert. You noticed in case I don't have the time to grab some off the counter at the nearest Quick Trip. Those are the prizes I like to win. Missouri plays Northern Arkansas State Tech on a Tuesday night. Shoot, that's only a five-hour drive for some high-level hoops. I would say that the juice is certainly worth the squeeze. So remember my name and vote for me next time a subpar Kiss cover band comes through town. That's Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
I feel like he was robbed yesterday, and Doug...
I'm not voting for him today because he called Jim Hayes an old size queen.
No, I think he was talking about you.
I don't think so.
Gentlemen, this Inside STL listener deal is the opportunity of a lifetime. Recording studio and a bar all in one spot. God bless. Gaslight Lounge. I've been waiting for this for years, but now I will finally get to record my debut rap album, Juan from PP Corp's Greatest Hits Volume 2. The track list includes Dad's on Deck featuring Misty Plops, Snoop and Dre 2016 featuring the Plowhawk, Talking Economic Policy with the Strippers featuring Iggy, Whoop That Ass featuring Ryan Kelly, the official Timber Fake versus Home Loan Expert fight theme, and JHE versus PP Corp, a Jim Hayes diss track. Oh, man, you got a diss track coming.
Yeah, I do.
And I'll Get You Hard, a Tim McKernan serenade. What? We dropping in 2017, PP Corp officially on the map, B. That's Juan from PP Corp. And Hannah, you went to school with Juan from PP Corp. Yeah, don't you know?
That was horror.
Juan,
that was horror.
Oh my God. Yeah. I thought we discussed this.
No.
You know Juan from PP Corp, right?
I don't. Is that his? What's his actual name? I'm confused.
We don't know.
Someone has a dead eye. Someone's from PP Corp. I don't know what these people are.
Take a look. Now, look at the.
You'll be horrified.
It could be nearly spontaneously combusted.
Oh, I love Dan.
Oh, you discovered it.
Well, no one actually knows, and that's not what people actually call him a lot. So it's
what do they call him? Juan from PP Corp.
Yeah.
His name is Dan Haggerty. He played Grizzly Adams.
That's right.
Good cover.
Oh, sure. Sure, Danny.
Guys, Plops here. I was driving down Telegraph yesterday, cruising for some Stank Thumb, and all of a sudden I see Jerry Orbach from Law & Order.
He did pass.
And he played Lumiere in the Beauty and the Beast.
So that's the story if he's out on Telegraph right now.
Yeah.
Might have been a hologram.
And also, he was in Dirty Dancing, and he was next to me driving a Jeep Cherokee. Looked like he had just picked up some Jack in the Box and was either heading home or going to maybe meet Jennifer Gray down at Cliff Cave Park.
Jennifer Gray, South County. Yeah, way South County.
I didn't know that this was going on.
Yeah.
Either way, I hit my horn and waved. He just kind of stared back at me with a confused look on his face, and then after a bizarre 30-second stare down, the light turned, and we both cruised on about our day. Guys, I'm just spitballing here, but... wouldn't it be awesome if we got Jerry Orbach to be the next guest for Foot Fetish Friday?
He's not with us any longer.
I'd love to see him out at Hot Shots peeling off a brown dress sock and then throwing them up on the silver platter for Jennings. Jennings and I could tag team make out with the help of some inspired soppins, Doug, like caramel sauce and butternut squash soup.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That is. It is. It's in season. I'm sure he's available. Jesus, it's been years since he's done anything new on television.
He's dead.
I'll put in a call to his people.
He's dirt
after
napping.
I get home from Mass today and see what his schedule looks like for next Friday and make sure he doesn't have any food allergies. Last thing we need is Jerry
How
Orbach's.
How long is the email?
It's a good one, though.
It's about Jerry Orbach, who died 5-6 years ago.
Last thing we need is Jerry Orbach's sensual foot swelling up like Nixie's head. Thanks, guys. Glad to be here. Misty Plops, the sexual comptroller of Oakville. That's a position?
See, clearly it is. Our emails are the most creative thing on the show.
Misty Plops, sexual comptroller of Oakville.
Have you guys ever seen a burn victim in real life?
No! Don't read that.
Well, in 10 minutes, I advise you to look into the mirror. There you will see a burn victim because I've just scorched you with my piping hot email of the day submission. Ha! Hey, Cubs fans, you did it. You won the World Series. Congratulations. Ha, just kidding. You have built a great young team, and I wish you many years of good Cubs-Cards rivalry. Mm-hmm. And Hayward, what's up, pal? Are you not swinging right? Are you not trying hard? Come on, guy. Ha, just kidding. You were great when you were here, and you seem like a real nice gentleman. You'll figure it out. Keep on trying. As always, thank you for your time.
Okay.
Who's that? Kevin Shipit.
Kevin,
it's good.
Ship it.
It's gonna be a tough decision today.
We're out of time, even though I'm sure there's many, many more wonderful submissions.
I was gonna go with Matt, who bowls at Hanks, because I do think he might have been robbed yesterday, and he did call.
You played a role in the robbery, sir.
Yeah, and he did call Doug an old size queen, so he gets check marks for that. Kevin Ship was great, but I'm going Misty Plops.
I would have voted for Matt, who bowls at Hanks, but I'm not gonna sit here and listen to people call Jim Hayes an old size queen. I'm gonna vote for a fellow by the name of Kevin Shipit.
I'm going with Matt, who bowls at Hanks, and I'm not trying to right or wrong. I just felt like
he called Doug an old size queen.
It's wide open
to the Speaker
now.
Of the House.
I expect Kevin Shipit to win it.
The plowing.
Hey Plowsy, look at me.
And I gotta say, I'm with Doug on this one. Kevin Shipit, just for Tim's delivery, Tim deserves half of the prize.
What?
Because it wasn't that great of an
nothing for me. You don't no praise for me.
So Kevin Shipit,
the great secret that needs to be exposed. Actually, Plowsy. Probably this is another story for the Inside STL News team. Is that Plowsy is actually more of a cucky lemming than anything else?
Yeah, I think so.
So
plus they're dating.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We're stepbrothers. We're not dating.
Yeah. Well, you still can bang. All right, Doug, that's going to do it for us here. Frank's up next. He does a real show. It's called the Hollywood Casino Press Box. And this is the Lion's Choice famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Don't forget tonight at the Post, TMA Live, Post Creed Corps. We'll all be out there. Come on by. It is going to be a pony. Doug, that signature cheesesteak sandwich is only $5.90.
Well, maybe that's what I'll get
there. That's the move. All kinds of drink specials. 763 Old Ballas Road. And as always, stay posted, my friends. We'll see you there. Frank's up next. For the Plow Wing, for Hannah Ray, for Michael Gaines, for Iggy, for the Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Sylvan Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590, the Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.